Well, it is a little different of what I'm accustomed to have audiences. My audience in Mexico, sometimes they'll be sitting on the floor, but they have the same Savior you have and I have. So, I'm going to start speaking about the power of God that brings or wrought salvation in vile man, as we were singing, undone man, all through his grace, through the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, for whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Some time ago, I went to a barbershop in Ensenada, Florida, California, Mexico, and I saw a magazine. And on the magazine was a picture on the front page of the atomic bomb test in an island somewhere in the Pacific Ocean. And some people were watching it. What struck me was not the effect of the bomb that was in the picture, but the way the people were looking at it. They had their mouths open. They stood there in awe, dumbfounded, looking at the effect of a man-made bomb. There were white people and natives in the picture. Well, man is proud of his power, but there is another power which does not destroy, but brings life to poor sinners like you and me. Power of God that works in the heart of a man, regardless of how hard his heart has become. And it has been my privilege to have seen that power working in some of those men in Oaxaca. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which believe is power of God. Perhaps I tell you a little story, or rather, it's a reality of a brother in Oaxaca. We were in a place called La Muralla, which in English means the city wall. And I was preaching the gospel one night. And there was the audience. Big mustache and a fierce looking man. And he heard the gospel. And the power of God changed that man. He told me afterwards that as he was going towards his home, he had stopped at this certain place to have the night. And he had it in his mind some awful things. He had been in a quarrel with his neighbors about some land. And he had made up his mind to go and burn their homes and perhaps kill some of those people. But when he heard the gospel of grace, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the whole thing was changed. The Lord changed his mind. And instead of going to burn their people's home, he went back and told them what God had done for him. This man waited until next day. He came to me and asked me to baptize him that he had believed. Now there is the power of God working in that man's heart, which no other power could work. Atomic bombs can save one man, one soul, but they can destroy much. But the power of God, which is in Christ Jesus, can save men like him and like me and like you. This very same man went to his village and started telling his friends and his relatives what God has done for him. At that time, there was another man by the name of Zenobio. This brother's name I've been speaking of, his name is Silvano. This fellow, Zenobio, is a dreadful killer. He had killed 20 persons and had gone into the mountains with some others who were evildoers like him, that the government had to send a platoon of soldiers to get him. But they couldn't get him. He was well acquainted with the surroundings, with the mountains, and the soldiers could get near him. But one day, this man, Zenobio, came down to the village and heard the gospel from Brother Silvano. And that changed the story, changed the life of Brother Zenobio. The power of God worked in that man that was undone, and now he's a Lamb of God. He's one of God's sheep. He was redeemed through the precious blood of Christ. His sins were washed. And that man, that brother, is very meek and humble now. He left his companions of evil life and came to live with his wife and children. As the Lord did say to some in the gospel, go ye home. Well, Zenobio did went home. About that time, a lieutenant, army lieutenant, there was with a platoon of soldiers, came hunting for him. And he happened to meet Silvano. So he asked him for Zenobio. Silvano told this army officer, well, Zenobio is converted. The officer said, converted to what? To Christ. The officer stood there for a minute, meditated, and said, well, if he is converted to Christ, he will commit no crime anymore. You tell him not to worry about us. We won't be looking for him anymore. Well, it tells and it shows how God can make a new creature out of an undone man. And if there is any of you here in this room tonight that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, come to him. Receive him as you are, just as Zenobio did, just as he was. And the Lord receive him, for he will in no wise cast anyone out that comes to him. Well, there was another instance that I would like to tell you about, how the grace of God, through the power of the Spirit, work in other hearts. Well, we were at Ciruelo, in English it means to prune, one of the assemblies. There were two men, they heard about me preaching the gospel there, and they were greatly offended in a place about 40 miles or more from where we were. So they thought about killing me. One of them said, I will be glad to put 5 bullets into that man. Well, this was told to me, and that doesn't make you feel very good. While I'm on those places down there, I always have a bad feeling on my back. Now I have a funny feeling with this thing in front of me. So, I just commit myself to the Lord, and this man, both of these men, said that they were going to kill me. Well, it happened that a brother passed by that place, and they asked him where I was. And then the brother said, what do you want him for? Well, we want to kill him, get rid of him. This is no good. Well, the brother told this man, why don't you go and listen what he has to say first? One of them said, well, I guess I'll go find out. So this man made a trip. He walked 2 days to hear the gospel. I didn't know anything about it. He was sitting there on the floor, listening to the gospel, very attentive. When we got through, I finished giving out the gospel, he came to me. And he said, you know who I am? I said, no, I live in a certain place. I looked at him twice. And I said, well, what do you think about the gospel? About the grace of God? Oh, he said, it is wonderful. It is wonderful. He said, I'm going back home and bring my wife so she could hear the gospel too, and my children. And he did. That man is in fellowship with us now. Well, it's wonderful what the power of God can do to an undone man, unworthy man, unworthy sinners. Now, if we will look in the scriptures, Isaiah 55. You please bear up with me. I get a little jumpy when I start speaking English, but I might get over it by the time I'm through. Isaiah 55. And we have a word in verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteousness man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. That's what Zenobia did, and this other man. They turned to the Lord, and the Lord pardoned them. Well, here we have, seek ye the Lord. We know from God's word that there is none that seeketh the Lord. Everybody seeketh his own way. Man seeketh for power, seek self-glory, but never they seek the Lord. Until the Spirit of God works in them and makes them seek the Lord. Like this last man I spoke to you about, he walked 2 days to seek the Lord. Well, we can see in the Gospel of Luke somebody else that seeks the Lord. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 7. Chapter 7 of St. Luke, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he will eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with hairs of her hair, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, what makes this woman look for the Lord? She was a sinner, but it was the grace of God, the work to the Spirit, and the power of the Spirit work in this woman. And she began to inquire where the Lord was. And when she found out where the Lord was, she turned her back to the city, turned her back to her sinful life, and came to the feet of Christ, just as she were. And there she cried, she shed tears in repentance, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord gave her these words, verse 50. And he said to the woman, thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. Oh, the wonderful grace of God, the wonderful power of the Spirit that guides a sinner to repentance, to believe. Seek ye the Lord. There is none that seeketh out of his own accord, unless it be by the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit of God, the works in the sinner. Then we have in Isaiah the other word, call upon him. We have a word in Romans 10. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, how can they call upon the name of the Lord whom they had not believed? How could any sinner call upon the Lord, the name of the Lord, if he hasn't believed? If the gospel hasn't been preached unto him. How can anybody seek the Lord if he doesn't believe what he's seeking for? You have to believe to seek. You have to believe to call. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. Shall be saved. There is a certain call in Jeremiah 17 that I would like to read. Verse 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Well, perhaps this healing might mean physical healing, but I think it means the soul. The soul is, the sinner's soul is sick with leprosy. It's sick with that dreadful disease of sin. And surely God doesn't want any sick soul in his presence. So he sent his beloved son, who shed the precious blood, by whose blood our sins are cleansed as white as snow. Oh, beloved friend, that only medicine for your cure, eternal cure, is the precious blood of Christ. And then you can say with the rest of us, and by his bruises we are healed. The precious blood of Christ was shed for ransom. We have been saved from the power of darkness, saved from sin, the power of sin. Our sins have been cleansed. Our soul has been healed. When our Lord was here on earth, he came to heal Israel. He came to save Israel, but Israel didn't want him. Israel didn't want to be healed. So, there they are with a national blindness and their back bowed because they didn't want to be healed. The power of God was there, but they didn't believe in it. They didn't want to. Here we look, Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. And we read verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee, in Judah and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But they didn't want to be healed. How about you, my friend? Would you like your soul to be healed? To be saved? It says, call upon the Lord, the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. Now is accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. As I was driving from Ensenada to Burbank to meet Brother Clausen, I noticed some advertising signs on the road. There were some pictures of some horses. And then there was a sign, a letter said, post time, 2 p.m. I imagine that the horses will be on the post time ready to run. My friend, this is post time. It is ready for you. It is time for you to flee from the wrath to come. Run. Run the Christian, run. Flee unto the shelter, the rock that was run at Calvary's cross, for your shelter and for mine. It is post time, my friend. But turning back to where we were, call upon the Lord, the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. Shall we look in another one? Luke 23. it, verse 32. 23:32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now, verse 39. And one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering, rebuked him, saying, Thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Now this man called upon the name of the Lord. Lord, he said, remember me. But if we look a little bit way back, we wonder what happened to this man all of a sudden. Now we look in Mark 15, verse 32, we see that this man with his friend were reviling the Lord. Verse 32. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him, both of them. But all of a sudden something happened. This man took sides with Jesus against himself. What do you suppose happened to him? He was reviling the Lord too. Oh, the grace of God. The power of God worked in that man and convicted him of his sins. And he saw himself there paying what was due to him. And he took sides with the Lord and called him, cried out to him, Lord, remember me when thou come to thy kingdom. Oh, the grace of God. The power of God that can work in a hard man, regardless of how hardened that man is. And this man rebuked his friend. Now, dear friend, if you don't have in your heart to seek the Lord, will you call upon him? Will you call upon his name and be saved like this man? Don't harden your heart. The Spirit is working in your heart. That's why you are here, otherwise you won't be here. Then we have another word. Now we have the sick and the called. Now we turn to Isaiah 45. And we read verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. If a man don't seek, if a man doesn't call, well, can look. My friend, won't you look at him? Look at him crucified there on the Calvary's cross. Look at him shedding his precious blood. Look at him shedding his precious blood. Look at him dying on the cross for the sinner's death. Look at him receiving the chastisement of our peace. Look at him. But look at him with a look of faith. Believe in him. There were two malefactors on each side of the Lord. And according to the scriptures, they were crucified about 9 in the morning. Both of them were very near. Both of them were looking at the Lord, but to no effect. Oh, dear children of the saints, you've been hearing the gospel. You have godly fathers, mothers, and you are very near, and yet so far, some, maybe. I hope not. Christ is being presented to you as the crucified Christ. You look at him, but to no effect, like those two malefactors. They were looking at him in the morning. But the scripture says that to the near of the sixth hour, that's 12 o'clock, one of them looked at him in a different way. Shall we turn again to look 23. And I beseech you, children of the saints, that you take a good look at him with the look of your soul, with the look of faith. We read in Luke 23 and verse 42. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou hast come into thy kingdom. The last time he talked with his friend, he rebuked him. Then he turned his back to his friend, turned to the Lord Jesus Christ and looked at him with a look he had never looked at him before. He was casually looking at him and reviling him in the morning. Oh, but this kind of look. He turned to the Lord and called upon him with a look of faith, with a call of faith. Lord, remember me. Oh, dear young brothers and sisters, the world is full of snares. We are very thankful that you pray for us here in the United States and in Canada. And I often tell my brethren in Mexico about your prayers. And they're very happy. Oh, they say they're praying for us. Yes, they're praying for you. Oh, they say we have prayed for them too. It was some time ago. So they get down on their knees, barefooted, no wooden floor or cement floor, just ground. And they cry to the Lord to keep American saints, Canadian saints, from the snare of prosperity. Because they have read in the scriptures that the wiles of the enemy are many. And there are sometimes children of saints that have not really in their heart have taken that look of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But once you take a good look at him, a look of faith, you turn your back to the world, to your friends, the friends of the world. I know Zenobia did, and Silvano did, and lots of them down there did, and I did, by the grace of God. I had many friends of the world at that time when I was saved. And I regret that I lost my youth in Los Angeles. But I guess, and I believe that the Lord has its purpose to save me in my old age, so I can consider others. So I beseech you, dear fellow Christians, young fellow Christians, do turn your backs to the world and keep on looking on Christ. And if you have believed in Him, on Christ crucified, keep your eyes on the rising Christ. He's coming. He's coming. And it won't be very long before we hear the shout. The world is full of noise, worldly noise. But our ears, our soul should be keen to hear that shout at any moment. Now this man that we were considering in Luke, look at Christ and call upon Him. What had happened to him all of a sudden? Well, again I repeat, the grace of God have wrought into him repentance and belief by the power of the Spirit. Now we go back to Isaiah 55. We read again verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Oh, my friend, this means that someday he won't be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Let the wicked forsake his way. Brother Zenobio had a very wicked way before he was saved. But he left his way. There's some other people that give testimony to him, about him. He had left his way. Let the wicked forsake his way. We read in Daniel about King Belshazzar, a young king who didn't want to seek the Lord, who had no time to seek the Lord, who didn't want to live his wicked ways. If you bear with me, we could read a little of him. In Daniel 5, and I want to bring this up because in Mexico, there are many so-called Christians that are leading the same life as this king here in Daniel 5. Belshazzar, first verse, the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink thereof. Isn't that the character of the world? Wine, women, and play. Israel committed that sin when was taken out of Egypt. They sat down to eat and drink and got up to play. Well, are some, I say in Mexico, I do not know here in the United States or another country, but in Mexico there are many young, not only young, but old people who claim to be Christians, but they like feasts, festivals. They like to eat with their friends and wives and sometimes another wife and drink wine. Well, they don't drink wine, they drink tequila or other kind of stuff. They're making crazy. And they claim to be Christians. And not only that, but we read here in the verse 4, they drank wine and prayed the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and stones. Stones. That's what they do there. They have images, idols of all kinds, made of all kinds of material. If they are rich, they have them of gold, silver. If they are poor, they have them of stone or paper. And they get drunk in their festivals, and they pray their gods. They made with their own hands. Oh, what a terrible condition that is. Well, I believe that this is coming in some way in the United States too, in some respect. The men of the world will like parties, wild parties. They like to drink wine, whiskey, beer. All this, there's nothing wrong with it. Oh, I shiver every time I hear, sometimes I do hear saints say, I don't see anything wrong with this or that. Well, it declares that the vision is getting shorter. Every time a saint says, I don't see anything wrong, is declaring himself that his vision, spiritual vision, is getting short-sighted. The men of the world don't see anything wrong in what they do. They go on wild parties, and then to kind of hush their consciences, they go and praise the gods they made with their own hands. That's the life of most of the Mexicans down in Mexico, and I'm afraid in some of the Latin countries in South America too. If I go and preach the gospel, they think I'm an intruder. Or rather they believe, or they think that Christ is an intruder to their life. They've been happy all the time. Their spiritual counselors tell them that everything is okay with them. Even if they go to purgatory, they can always buy themselves out of it. Poor souls, I feel pity for them. I feel sorry for them. Because they don't live along their wicked ways. They want to keep up with their wicked ways. There was a man, an Indian, came once to me, and he said, I like your religion. I don't know what he meant by that, but he said, I like your religion. He said, and I want to join it. I want to ask you one question, he said. If I join your religion, can I keep on dancing and drinking? I looked at him and said, well, what do you think? You would like to keep on dancing and drinking? He said, yes, I like it. Well, you won't like it if you turn to the Lord. If I tell you not to drink or not to dance, perhaps I will be preaching you the law, putting you under the law. But I'm not preaching the law. I'm preaching the gospel of salvation by grace. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll do the rest. Well, poor men, I'll never see them again. I hope someday the Lord, the Spirit of God, will work with the power in his heart, and he may turn to the Lord, seek the Lord, call upon the Lord, and look at the Lord as his own personal Savior. Well, this young man, Belshazzar of Babylonia, he liked wild parties. He liked what people that have money like. And sometimes people that don't have money, they like him too. And he was an idolater. I can't help but compare this picture with some of the people in Mexico. They are wrapped up with idolatry, superstitious, and they think that they are the real Christians. As I have told you before, in those places inside of Mexico, there is a mixture of Catholicism and paganism or heathenism. And it's weird. It's awful, terrifying. See those souls sunken in that system, corrupted system. But thanks the Lord that since the gospel has been proclaimed in those part of the country, that part of the country's mountainous on one part and jungle on the other part, there have been some of those dear souls being saved through the grace of God. The power of the Spirit had wrought in them salvation and had saved them from the power of darkness and from the wrath to come. And now they are happily gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are 8 assemblies in Oaxaca, where only about 6 years ago, they never heard about the grace of God. And I can't help but be thankful how the Lord ever sent me over there to take the good tidings to those dear souls. Every time I have an opportunity, I speak about a certain brother down there on my first visit. His name is Marcelino. He's a man about my age, an all Indian brother. After 3 days of being preaching there the gospel, he came to me one afternoon and said, "Brother," he said, "I'm so happy." And he began to cry. He said, "I'm so happy that the Lord has loved me all this time. I never knew it until now. I'm happy that God loved me. And to think that all these years I never knew it until He, in His grace, sent you from such far away to come and give us his good tidings." Well, this brother is saved. He is in fellowship. He's gathered to the Lord's name, and he is very happy. But those tears that brother shed were genuine tears of joy, tears of gratitude to him that loved him to the uttermost. Oh, beloved brothers, beloved saints of Christ, I know that some of you have been born in the gospel. You have never tasted the bitterness of sin, of darkness, of superstitions, of idolatry. And which you should be very thankful. And I know you are. But those poor saints down in Mexico, it's very hard for some of them to get rid of some of those things that still linger in their minds. Their hearts are clean. Their souls are clean by the precious blood of Christ. Thank God for that precious blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And then it'll shepherding. And that's why I sometimes, with my wife and Pablito, goes on there and visit and enjoy ourselves in just watching the grace of God working on those souls. They are learning very slow, but they are learning. And they like to learn. They send me many questions of the scriptures they would like to know. And before I forget, they told me on our last visit that if I ever come to the United States or Canada, to give your saints their love. And to thank you for the clothing you've been sending them. And I want to finish with saying this, that there is power in the blood of Christ. Amen. Shall we sing a hymn? In the appendix, please. Somebody started, please.